It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the episode, the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button. About three new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guests, actors Jemima Kirk and Ashley Zuckerman. We're going to be once again talking about the Apple TV Plus series called City on Fire, set in the early 2000s in New York City. And it's a bit of a mystery. Someone gets shot. There's infidelity. There's race. There's queer relationships. There's a lot happening with a lot of different characters. Jemima and Ashley, we're going to get into... Well, first off, what it was like, especially portraying characters in the early 2000s. This was the era that gave both of them their professional start. And I also want to hear how the roles differ from their actual selves, because these two people, they don't seem anything like the real people that I've come to know on this in interviews and whatnot. But also how they still find ways to connect to them. That's important, right? So Ashley, who you'll also know from shows like Fear Street and Succession, he's going to discuss why he likes to play unlikable characters, and we'll hear about the key to understanding them. While Jemima, who you obviously know from Girls and Sex Education, is going to deconstruct how the pair even create their own unwritten backstories. All that's and more. We're talking City on Fire now on Apple TV Plus. It's Kyle Meredith with Jemima Kirk and Ashley Zuckerman.
Hey, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
I guess let's start with the compliments. City on Fire, what a beautifully shot, beautifully acted, engaging story that had me guessing the entire time. This is a really great one. Congrats to you both.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear.
Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe we'll start trying to figure out the heavy part of the fun part. We'll start with the fun part. You know, playing in the early 2000s, you know, when you're playing into an era in a series like this, the era, you know, it's easy for us to look back, and for me, I should say, I don't want to project, it's easy for me to look back on an era and you think of the pop culture side, oh, the 90s were grungy, you know, but they were so much more than that. And there's, you know, when you're playing into an era, for me, it feels like there is a fantasized version, or maybe maybe that's not a part of it at all. I mean, Jemima, is it, you know, you were there.
Yeah.
You're part, maybe part of this scene. I mean, is it easier for you to make the connection to this time in the world?
It wasn't, it really wasn't on my mind much when I was playing this character, you know, the time period. I mean, yes, of course, there's the sort of inconveniences of not having navigation or being able to access, you know, get in touch with someone so easily. But it's not, because I wasn't playing someone who is part of, you know, the early aughts nightlife, it wasn't something that I needed to, you know, get nostalgic about. Although, of course, I was nostalgic for it reading the script. You know, I do remember that those times really well. Those are formative years. And I am Sam's character at heart. That's really who I should have played, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that. But I think there's something funny about that. That for us, like the early aughts, that was the time that we were coming of age. So for me, like, I actually feel like that's still it. Like, like that's where I exist the most. Like, that's what life feels like. Like, that's where I discovered who I was. When I discovered who I was. Like, I'm sure the younger members of the cast probably consider it a period piece, but like, it just feels very natural. Yeah. So it, but it is also funny. It was funny thinking about it, like when the script came in and it was like, oh, 2003. And
is an era now?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
this is an era.
I remember getting it and going, oh, this is genius. They're turning the early aughts into an era with, you know, with specific sort of a fashion sense and it's just, I didn't think of it that way. You know, I don't know.
I'd be interested to see what the others say about it, because for me, it still feels like a bit of a cultural black hole. And I don't know if that's actually true or just my sense of it.
Well, some people who are like 10 years younger than us think they remember the early aughts, but they're like children in the early aughts. So you don't really remember it unless you were like out and about a bit, you know.
I would imagine that is surreal, actually, kind of playing around with that. But there is the fun parts, you know, and as I am surrounded by the music posters, that was what drew me in immediately when I saw, you know, hearing those songs, you know, seeing the cutaways to the yeah, yeah, yeahs and LCD sound system and Radiohead. I know that you all didn't get to play with that as much as some of the other characters, but do you use that as part of it? Do you use the music in the from the era maybe to get, I don't know, in character to kind of find the story?
Mm-mm. No, not really. I don't think Regan has time to listen to music, but she knows. I mean, she knows enough to know what's hip. You know, she does. There is a reference to the Libertines, so. But I don't think music plays a big part in her life.
But you did get to play around with a little bit of the makeup side in that, you know, brief moment with, I don't know if I'd call it the '80s new wave look, but
that was fun and an era that I can't attest to really because I was, you know, not 18 in that whenever that was, you know, the mid 80s or late 80s. But yeah, it was fun. And
the hair looked great. It really did, honestly.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back right after this.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Jemima Kirk and Ashley Zuckerman.
Neither of these characters, I will say, feel very close to your real life counterparts. I don't know you, obviously, but just, you know, from the interviews I see and everything, do you base them on someone? Like, I guess it's important to note neither one of them feel like a caricature, but this feels very opposite of both of you. Mm-hmm. Both of you all. Ashley, I'll start with you. Like, do you base it on anyone?
Yeah, it's funny though, but on myself, I think like I just look for the parts in me that match, and I think I've had feelings and thoughts and urges in the same way that 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 character has. Like I look for the things, the ways we're similar more than the ways we're different. And there's a loneliness to him. There's a feeling of not being seen. Like there are those kinds of things that universal that I try to tap into. But that's nice that it comes off as very different.
The behaviors and the sort of the personality of the character doesn't matter as much as just relating to a feeling, right? It's not that I would do or behave the same way as Regan or react the same way as Regan to a certain situation. But if I read a scene and I think this is how she's experiencing something, I find an experience that is the same. And it's funny, when I read a script, usually I'm like, oh God, this is a real stretch, this character. I don't know how I can find anything in common with them. And then after a few more reads, I'm like, oh my God, I am this person. This is perfect for me and perfect for me at this time in my life and whatever. You just have to find the thread. But it's not a direct parallel. It's not, it's more emotional.
Sure. And what actor exactly wants a direct parallel on something like this? Like, it feels like it would be a lot of fun to kind of, even for you, Ashley, like playing someone who's set up immediately to be unlikable. Like, you're not the villain, but you're not the, like, is that, yeah. Like, is that enticing?
That's right. It's always nice to have things again, like working against you. That those are always the nicer characters to play. That when there's more gristle there, and you can tap into darker things. When you can, when you're able to.
When you have to find a connection where it's not obvious.
But also in where you can antagonize other people. Those are nice things to play, and they're always fun. But I don't know if I ever set out and. I don't know if I ever look for that. Those just become the more fun characters to play. But I think, like Jemima said, like the things that define him, the affair, like to an 18-year-old in our story, is so specific and uncomfortable that
we talked a lot about that. Actually.
Yeah, and it actually only because like something we talked about early on was this idea that. This isn't just an affair. This is an affair with an 18-year-old. That's an entirely different pathology.
And it says so much about the character.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not, when you read a character like that, it's not like you go, okay, would I ever do that? Could I do it? No, you go, okay, have I had a weakness of character in a moment like that or done something that's like completely shameful or whatever?
And if I had judgments before, which I still do, it did make me... think about the person who does that, and a lot of people do that. And when you go on a journey of trying to empathize and try to understand someone, that's what I mean by seeing more similarities in yourself. Like for Keith in our story, like the key is that he just through Sam he felt like he could be the person he always thought he was.
Right.
Like he saw a reflection of himself that he liked better than the life that he was actually living. And this is, we understand, like an entirely like arrested adolescent view of life. This is something that like happens mostly in men because they haven't had to face many challenges and they haven't had to grow. And especially like a character like mine who's wealthy and white and like just had everything laid out in front of him and was able to fail upwards his entire life. And so... it's a testament to their relationship that Jemima's character actually like draws a line in the sand and it's the first time in his life that he has to grow and he has to develop.
I think, no character can be completely unlikable, or, especially if you're acting as them, right? They have to have you have to understand them, right? And I think that, that Keith has, there's the saving grace of him is that he regrets and he has remorse for it, right? And he perseveres to getting his marriage back, right? Which is, and Regan is just a total punisher, throughout the whole thing, which is something I had to sort of was a stretch for me, because I'm much more sort of understanding person, and so I had to ask myself this question all the time, like, why is she being like this? And I did get that, but yeah.
I started rooting for him. I really did, and I didn't expect that. And I think that says when there's mercy at your feet, you know, when he throws yourself at your feet, that's when it.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Jemima Kirk and Ashley Zuckerman.
And I know I only got a couple minutes here. That line, "I was that girl and I strangled her so that we could have this," is one of the most powerful moments of the entire series.
Yeah, I think so,
and
too.
A hell of a line. And I heard they sort of changed that for you. Is that right?
I don't know. No, I think it was in there. There was some stuff that was changed. No, what was... I asked to be in my underwear. So there's that. But that, I think that's the only change to that scene. But no, I don't think there are any cue directions or anything that I changed.
But there was something about because when I first read the script, because of the thrill element of our story, we don't have a lot of time to, and because like we're mostly with Jemima's character, we don't have a lot of time to actually delve into the relationship or the issues that actually come out of this specific, you know, pathology. So
you mean that, between the characters?
We don't actually get to like really confront like the affair in any kind of meaningful ongoing way, because
or why it happened or why what the
yeah
what
the dynamic is
that,
yeah, that's right. So yeah.
You have to make that's also part of it, is you have to write some of that stuff in your head, you know.
And and it was like, and when I read that, that was like a worry for me, that I was like, oh, like one, the story just doesn't have time. Like you're dealing with like the collapse of your
everything
In your life, the business, you're an ailing father, and now the affair and raising two young kids, and there's a murder investigation going on. So the show doesn't have time to deal with that issue. Hopefully we get to do that in season two, but I was worried that we wouldn't be able to kind of delve into that. And then like one of the reasons I signed on was because you were attached in that role, and
I
don't want to blow too much smoke. If we have to do another season, we don't want to. I thought like then it's always going to be interesting. Like there's always something very real and very like we can really delve deep very quickly, and that's what I think that's what hopefully we were able to do.
No, this wasn't scenes from a marriage. Let's put it that way. We didn't have time for that, but. We have, you know, as actors, we have time for it in our backstory.
Well, there was so much to grab onto. And again, you all did it beautifully. I love the series. I'm hopeful that the story gets to continue as well. Jemima, Ashley, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. It's really been a pleasure and an honor.
Yeah. Thank you.
And my thanks, Jemima, Ashley, City on Fire, now on Apple TV Plus. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. Again, if you enjoyed what you heard, we've got plenty more of this. New episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 a week with your favorite artists. And give you a chance to discover some new ones as well. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show starting 6 p.m. Eastern every weeknight, Monday through Friday. It's song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all three of them. My address is at Kyle Meredith. So do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Consequence.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.